Thank you, Pastor. And it's good to be with you again this morning. Who's happy they're in church?
Amen.
See, some of you didn't get your hand up. This is something else going on. Amen. What's wrong with this side of the church? That's the mourner's bench, is it? Yeah, okay. Well, we're glad to be with you. We've had a whirlwind year. I've been going like crazy since I was sick for 8 months there with a cough. It's gone now, almost gone. Praise the Lord. So I've had a lot to make up. Brother Billy is very excited. We had a wonderful time with him. We had two great camps. We had 100 young children at our little kids camp, which was 50 more than we expected. And that went very well. We're flexible, amen. You just bring another lady in to cook. It's just more potato soup. That's basically what we have. Nothing fancy at camp. But they make potato soup like you've never had. So it's excellent. And we then had a teenage camp. We had about 125, I think, campers. And we had at least 15 saved. We made it very difficult for them to acknowledge they wanted to be saved. I made them stand up in front of the whole camp and say that they wanted to be saved, which is good for them, rather than just put your hand up when they're praying. And then we marched them out and we got on with the business. Amen. Brother Billy is still much in need of someone to go work with him and to teach the Word of God. We've done a lot of homework in Romania, and a lot of the churches we thought for many years were independent Baptists are not. And so now it's down to about 25 to 30 churches in the whole country that are literally independent Baptists. The rest are in the Baptist Union, which is a giant octopus that strangles everybody in the system. And it's not very fundamental. And many of the preachers are literally gangsters. They're into everything that's wrong and bad and making money on the side and doing illegal things. It's pretty sad. Amen? We're finding all this out now slowly. So please pray. We need to get an institute functioning a little better than what it is, because Billy's on his own. Amen? Pretty well. And we need people to go and help him with the teaching. So if you're able to do it, contact Brother Billy. Amen? The church is just put together. The little church is wonderful. It'll seat about 65, 70 maybe at a squash. It's just a little unit, okay, like what you would call a flat. It's converted into a church. And it's very nice. It's all new. It's in an old building downstairs. And there's lots of children already coming to church now because the whole area is full of apartment blocks. So they're excited. They've got about 10 adults and a couple of good preacher boys. You met Danny when he was here. Danny and Nico is the other one. They're two good boys helping Billy now. And they'll be the up-and-coming next generation. Amen? At camp, we had the devil was at camp. He always turns up before anybody else turns up. And a few things happened that you wish hadn't happened. But, you know, I'm glad the devil's not asleep. Amen? Because he keeps us awake. And Billy had his hands full, trust me. And so did I. So I've been to many places since I was here last. I can't remember. When was I here last? Christmas, okay. I've probably been to about 15 countries since Christmas. We've done a lot of work in Cambodia with the pastors and seen some people saved in Cambodia, many pastors blessed. And of course, there's always two or three wayward fellows that get off track, amen? Brother Billy has that fellow Marcel. He hasn't gone off track. He just wants to do his own thing. He's still young. He's still in the church, so he hasn't dropped out of church. So please pray for him, because we haven't given up on him yet. Amen? We've taught him. He's finished his teaching. And we're just praying that God will bless. If you understood how difficult it is to work on the field, you would pray a lot more. You really would. They're alone. There's no friends. There's hardly any friends in the village that understand what they're really doing. Okay, so really pray, because it can be very depressing at times when you feel like folks at home don't understand it all. Amen? So please pray, because Romania has great potential, but they're now moving into Western Europe, and all the influence from Western Europe is not going to help. It's just going to make things worse. Amen? So Cambodia, we had some blessing. And we're working hard in Africa. Please listen carefully. Since 1962, we have only managed to produce 25 people who've gone to the mission field in our movement. 25 people who are in full-time service or have been. Since 1962, we now have close to 200 churches. There certainly hasn't been an explosion of missionaries, has there? No. Something's wrong, folks. Amen? Something's desperately wrong, because that figure should be 100 or more. And so we've got to really see where the problem is. I think part of the problem is that we don't have the vision we should have. The other part of the problem is our young people and middle-aged people have never had hardship. And when they face hardship, they collapse. And one of the things that you may not think is hardship is loneliness. That's a tremendous part of hardship, being on your own. And so because of this, we've been struggling to keep people out there and to get them even interested to go. The first missionary who came to Australia was Randy Pike, a man on crutches with a vision. That man worked here many, many, many years. And then he worked in Africa many years on his crutches. Both legs were no good. What that man did on crutches, no other man has accomplished in this country. No other man. And we just implore you, we beg you today, think, where could you make that difference? Amen? Now, one of the problems I see with our young people, and I'm constantly with young people, is they need, number one, to realize the hardship on the field, and then number two, they need to realize the hardship of the people on the field. I mean, the people who live there. So we're trying desperately to set up some training stations around the world where these young people can go and face it. Not in 1 week, not in 2 weeks, because that 1 or 2 week stuff is where you take snapshots. Amen? Yeah, that's not real life. That's a vacation. Amen? It's like going to Venice and taking pictures. I'm talking about 3 to 6 months, where by the time that 3 to 6 months is up, you'll be crying for your mother. You'll be looking for your teddy bear. Alright? And your Iron Man cornflakes or whatever you eat. And where you'll be sick, you'll be so sick, you wish you never went there. It takes that long to experience it that much. But you know, it's been the hardest thing to sell to our churches. They just don't get it. You can't take a kid that's grown up here and had a great time and just say, go to the mission field. He won't be there for long, I promise you. He won't be there for long. And since 2005, our missionary sending figure, if you want to put it that way, has dropped 38%. So 38% less people in the last 5 years have presented themselves to go. Are we in trouble? we're in trouble. We're in trouble. So we're working in Africa. We're trying to set up a training station. Now, to do that, we need to get some land, which we think we've already got at the moment. Praise the Lord. We're going to set up some little, you would call a beach hut, which is an A-frame piece of, like a doghouse, like your little playhouse you've got out the back here. Amen? Yeah, just a little bigger so I can stand up in it. And that'll be for these young people who come there. They'll stay in one of those. They won't have all the wonderful things like cable, TV and mobile phones and all that stuff is not necessary. What is necessary is leave them there long enough so that when they come home, listen to me, when they come home, the question is answered, yes, I can do it, or no, I'm not cut out for it. And then it's over. Amen? But then if you can't do it, you need to come home and front up to the church and say, look, I'm not cut out for that, but I'm going to work twice as hard here. Now tell me where those people are. Where are those people? Where are the ones that said, I can't do it there, but I'm going to do twice as much here? Where are they, Pastor? We can't find them. You see, we've totally lost the vision for the world because we in Australia live in another world. This is another world, folks. Believe me, this is heaven. That's why everybody on every little boat that can get a hold of tries to get here. There's no boat people going anywhere else. They all want to come to heaven. I haven't started preaching yet, and I'm all excited. Listen up. We've got to get these training schools up and running. We do. I recently went to Mongolia. I thought I found the worst place in the world when I got there. It's hell. I found several people who are now working there. We found them years ago preaching through the US. Listen to me. If you want to straighten your kids up, that's the best place to go. And we have people there. We have several missionaries there now who take your young person a month at a time. Each one will take them for a month, wherever they are, whether it's in the desert, in the city, or up near the Siberian border. And by the time they're finished with them, your kid will know. Amen? He'll know. But see, we're not doing this. We're not challenging our people enough to go and see if they can stand it, if they can do it, if God's speaking to them. We're not doing that. And so in Africa, we're doing our hardest, working very hard now, and I'll be going back there again in about 3 or 4 weeks to try and set this place up. Now, not just young people, I'm talking about middle-aged people. Our churches are full of middle-aged people who are just content to be in church. Well, it doesn't seem in most churches like Jesus is coming shortly. Because there's no urgency anymore. Amen? If 35% have quit wanting to go in the last 5 years, that should tell us something. We need to look at the figures and say, something is not happening like it used to. Amen? So, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 119. I just want to read one verse to you. And then we're going to read two more verses, and that will be all our message this morning. But you know me, I try to find one nail and knock it through your skull. Amen? I don't need many nails, just one will do. Amen? Psalm 119 and verse 130, the Bible says this. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth what? And it giveth understanding unto the who? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Speak to us this morning, please. And Father, maybe begin what we need to have, which is a vision in our hearts today because of the word of God. And because of your love for the lost, and because of the fact that we're to reach the world, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here that the entrance of the Word of God giveth light. And you know, after it gives light, folks, there needs to be action. If the light hasn't gone on, then nothing has gone in. Are you with me? And what I'm seeing around the world, not just in Australia, is that people come to church, it's going in, and they're filling up with knowledge and information, and then there's nowhere to go with it. They don't know what to do with all the information. And you see, once you receive the light of the Word of God, you need to do something with it. You need to expand somewhere or the bottle's going to break. Are you with me? I was talking to some pastors recently and I said to them, look, here's the problem. Our churches are full of men. Men who don't know what to do. Now, I've worked a little bit on farms, not a great deal, but I know this. If you don't shear the sheep, they'll die. Any farmers here? Is that true? If you never shear the sheep, they'll suffocate. Listen carefully. The only thing that sheep do is eat and grow wool. Correct? They're too dumb to do anything else. That's all they do. Are you with me? Listen up now. Listen up. The work of the sheep is to grow wool. Because the carcass isn't worth much. We know that. But the work of the sheep is to grow the wool. And if the wool is never shorn and the wool is never cut, that sheep is going to be upside down with its four legs in the air one day. Are you with me? And that's what I see happening to the men in our churches. Hello? Anybody home? Think now. Think. We have people who have this perception that it's just nice to be in church every week, but one day they're going to be upside down. And we have to work the sheep and cut the wool because that's all there is. You see, how you see things is what you become. That's your perception. Amen? Let's read that verse again. I want to really send that message home to you. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth light. And then verse 133, order my steps in thy word. You see that there? Once you get the light, then God can order some steps. But if you're unwilling for God to order your steps, there'll be too much wool and you'll suffocate. Even in an independent Baptist church. They're dying all over the world. I see men who are already dead in churches. There are a few sheep that are allowing God to shear the wool off. They are actually productive. And listen, the rest of the sheep, you know where they are? They're out, they're like grapes, you know. There's the luscious little grapes. And the rest of the church is out on the rack in the sun, drying on the vine. They become sultanas. Our churches are full of them. Raisins and sultanas. All shriveled up, but still, I'm still in a good church. Hello? You're already upside down on the rack. You're attached to the vine. And you're content just to be in church. And the world needs you. It needs you. Right now we have 100 black guys in Africa waiting for us to get the teachers there to teach them. And we have churches full of men who are sitting around full of wool, with all the info and all the knowledge, but they won't do anything. Do I sound frustrated? Yeah. I'm frustrated. Because all these people keep saying is, oh, one day, one day, one day, oh, and how am I going to get support? Listen, that's not your problem. That's the pastor's problem. You with me? You've got to start moving with your life and saying, I've got some light, I've got it in here, it's in here, and now there's some steps to take. I want you to write this down. If you have a pen, this is a little recipe here, okay? Perception is the stimulus of everything. Perception is the stimulus of everything. What does that mean? It means how you perceive things is what you end up doing. And if you keep perceiving yourself sitting in church, playing no part at all, that's where you're going to end up, upside down on the pew with your legs in the air. Oh yes, Lord, look at all the wool I've got. And God's saying, well, it's no use on your body, is it? It's only good on somebody's carpet, or somebody's jumper, or somebody's suit, but it's no use on your body. You should have had it cut off. Amen? Amen? Help me here. 25 people, full time, in missions, in over 45 years. Nothing to clap about, is it? No, it isn't. Recently, I was in New Zealand preaching, and I preached in a little church, maybe 50. That's little, isn't it? No, it's medium in Australia, amen? 50. And I was preaching about this and how we needed people. At the end of the message, there was one African lady sitting there. She came running down the aisle, boy. She was as ready as they were. And I went and prayed with her and I said, what's wrong, sister? What's the matter? She said, nothing's wrong. You've just alerted me to something. I said, what's that? She said, I'm sitting in New Zealand, I'm black, I'm making money and doing nothing for God. Oh! Hello! I don't hear that from many Australians. I'm sitting in Australia, making money and doing nothing for God. And our reasoning is, well, I'm in a good church. If that doesn't cut it with God. Are you with me? It doesn't work. And for the price of your next new car, we can build that whole training center in Africa. Clinic, orphanage, Bible college, and a place for the young people for the price of one new car in this country. And we can't find people willing to help. Are you with me? Can you see the problems? There's light going in, but nothing coming out on the feet. The legs are dead in the church. And there's all these people who've had training, been in the Bible college, done this, done that, and even those who haven't been. There's plenty of them who can teach. Plenty. Plenty. If you can teach in that next room, and you can teach adults out of a book, you're ready to go. Boy, right there's about 500 men just in Sydney, ain't it? Who could do it? This black lady came forward, we prayed. She said, Brother Anger, when are you going to Africa? I said, oh, shortly. Buddy, she was there. She came, she's a nurse in intensive care, she's not dumb. She came, she ran the whole clinic by herself. She won people to Christ while she was bandaging up their legs. And all she was doing was getting light and light and sitting there and making money. And finally the penny dropped and said, I'm not doing anything for God. You see, the urgency came into the picture. Amen? Now she's trying to get a little bit of help in New Zealand, which is like looking for a needle in a haystack. I want you to listen to me now. That black lady, her name's Teresa. We call her Mother Teresa. Are you listening? She's 70 years old. Are you listening? She has HIV. She's dying. Are you listening? She woke up because she was another one of those churchgoers, and we have thousands of them sitting around filling up with a preaching, and there's nothing to do with it. The entrance of thy word giveth what? Is it giving you life? See, that means something. Is it giving you life? Now, the first part of the formula was perception is the stimulus of everything. Write this down. Perception leads to procedure. Perception. How you perceive something. How you understand that light that's coming from the Bible. How you understand that will lead to how you proceed from there. So, if you are just sitting here every Sunday and receiving the good preaching from Pastor, amen, is he giving good preaching?
Amen.
That's why he's still here, I guess. Amen? If you're just taking it in, and there's nothing you can do with it, either here or somewhere else, there's a problem. Correct? Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to make this real easy for you. You can either serve God here, or you have to serve him somewhere else, even from here. Listen carefully. You either serve God here, or you serve him here, but you're doing it for people out there, or you leave here and do it out there. So that's the scope. Why don't I hear about 10 men getting together and all saying, we're going to pitch in $3,000 so we can start something in Africa that will support 200 pastors? I don't hear that. But if somebody said, oh, you can get a ticket to play golf for the next 10 years for $3,000, we'd have some takers, amen? Amen? We would. I don't hear men thinking like this. And our churches are dry of support. We have no money left. And if we don't start thinking about how we're going to support these people, because if you listen to the first thing I said, one third of the people who should be going are no longer going, so we have to start training people who live there. Hello? Does that make sense to you? If ours are not going, what's the alternative? Then. And how are we going to help them? If we don't have it, how are we going to do it? We have to get men to become creative. And everyone just thinking about on the church offering. That'll do it, somehow. No, it won't do it. Our offerings in Australia barely support the people who've gone. Someone say amen. I know that's true. Amen? That's the truth. Folks, we've got to become creative. We've got to stop sitting around and hoping the money's going to fall out of heaven. We've got to start thinking. We've had the light. We've heard about it, haven't we? Haven't we? We've heard about it. Now, some of you men need to start getting together and saying, how on earth can we help these men in Asia and South America and Africa and Eastern Europe? How are we going to help these people? Because basically they're depending on us. They don't know where else to go. They don't know anybody outside. Imagine that. You don't know anybody outside of Africa. Where are you going to get any help? Amen? So the creativeness is to come back to us. Now, we're creative when it comes to choosing cars and homes and all the rest of that, but we're not creative when it comes to helping people. We want to run a mile from that because that spells work. Amen? And that spells sacrifice. So how you perceive things results in the procedure of how you do it. Now, write this down, the last part of the recipe. Procedure leads to product. Procedure leads to product. Product. So what is your product? Never before is all the information about the world so readily available to you. Never. Never before. There's a mountain of information. The problem is our people are not getting any light on the information. That's obvious because you look around the country, we have seminar after seminar, conference after conference, preachers from all over the place rolling in and rolling out, and nothing's happening. It's costing us a fortune to fly guys in and fly guys out and put them in motels and run them around town, but listen, we don't see anything. You can say amen if you want. Don't feel bad about it. I've seen it for years. I get tired of it. Oh, wasn't that great? Wasn't this great? Wasn't that great? And what happened there? Nothing. We heard six of the great sermons that the guy had, or six that I had, whatever, and then nothing comes out of it. Amen? We had fellowship, we ate ourselves to death, and fellowshipped ourselves to death, and then we look around the 2 days later and say, and what was that all about? Amen? When Jesus got together with people, something exploded. Something happened. And I want to give you the recipe of why things happen with Jesus. And you can write this down. Some of you young boys that are looking for a message, all right? I'll give you the outline. Here it is. Write it down and then send me the money. Amen? Jesus did four things. I'm not going to spend an hour preaching about them. I'm just going to tell you what he did because this is what we need to do. The Lord Jesus, first of all, had his men with him long enough to train them. Long enough to train them. I was encouraged. I was out the back here. There's lots of young boys starting to grow up all of a sudden. Amen? Where'd they all come from? They weren't there last time I was here, but it's what they eat, isn't it? It's called that cornflakes. It's a hormone. That's what it is. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If those young boys and those young ladies do not see the men shedding some wool and getting something done and producing something, they're going to be just like you. You better listen. We're losing one lot after another lot after another lot after another generation because the mums and dads don't have it. They're good Christians, but they're not very good Christians. This is why I don't get invited to a lot of conferences here. It blows people out of the water, amen? They don't want to hear it. They're too used to comfort. They're too used to, oh, I'm in a good church. Listen, I'm tired of hearing that. Tell me what you're doing. I was in the US preaching in a big church, 2,000 people, the pastor come running up. Oh, Brother Hanger, we've heard about you. We're really in the missions, blah, blah, blah. We support 400 missionaries. And then he walked me down the corridor, and there's 400 pictures. And I said to him, just quietly, over a cup of coffee, I said, Pastor, how many of those were yours? He said, two. I said, thank you. The factory died. And now we have to borrow them off other people's churches. And that means we're missions minded. No, no, no. It means you have too much money. It's spent in the wrong direction. Years and he could only find two of his own. Whoa. That's pitiful. Amen? just pitiful. You see, he perceived that that was being missions-minded. That's his perception. And it was wrong. It's the wrong perception. That's why the product is zero. You see, my little recipe works here, doesn't it? His perception was, we help everybody else, but we aren't doing anything, but we're mission-minded. Really? The conveyor belt should be running at all times. And if there's just empty boxes coming out, someone should be fired. Say amen. That don't sell well. Doesn't matter how you wrap them and strap them, that don't sell well. Amen? They're empty. But that's what's happening in our country. Sorry to tell you. But the answer is that when you get light, you need to act on the light you're given by God. You need to act on it. And some of you here this morning, you shouldn't be here. You should be giving Pastor the joy of having sent you out a long time ago. What a joy that would be for him. When that lady went to Ecuador, she gone, right? Was that a joy? Oh, another dozen of those weren't hurt. Amen? Amen? Trouble is, we only think about our children doing this. No, I'm talking to you, my friend. To you. Forget about the children. They're still children. Let them be children. Amen? Let them have fun as children. I'm talking about you, mister, who's 35. I'm talking about you, mister, who's 45. What are you going to do with everything you've been given and everything you've been taught? It's all stuck in the bottle. It's going to crack. You're going to be upside down in the pew shortly. Legs in the air, full of wool. Nah, yeah, that won't help anybody, amen? But that's what's happening to our country. I'm serious. The Lord Jesus took his men with him and trained them. He worked day and night to get those men ready. 12 men to reach 250 million people which were alive at that time. 12 men. Imagine the convincing he would have had to do to convince 12 men that they would do the job. Just think about it. No TV, no internet, no radio, no papers, no nothing. No megaphones, no microphones, nothing. He convinced them. Yes, he did. Secondly, Jesus kept them when others would have wanted to take them away. He kept them also when they may have wanted to run away. Amen? How many of them go to Bible college and then drop out halfway through? They want to run away. Amen? They don't want to finish. That's why we want to take them there and just clear that up. Yes, I can. No, I can't. End of story. Amen? Then we won't be spending 200 grand to send them there and see them come home again next week. But that is what we're doing. We need to understand that when God gives us life, we need to move. Jesus kept them close to himself. Number three, he infected them. What with? He infected them with a vision. He infected them with enthusiasm. He infected them with strength. They were strong. They weren't weak. They were strong. Where are the boys that used to preach on the streets 25 years ago in Sydney? Where are they? Because they're gone, man. Where are they? They're gone. You know, I might get hit. So the police might come. So? They're gone. But we haven't replaced it with anything either. And so that whole creativity stuff is gone. When I went to college, my wife can tell you, every Sunday night we were out on the street, man. We had to preach on the end of the footpath. No megaphones and all that stuff. And bikers would roll up right in front of me on their big Harleys and shout at me and turn their bikes up. And they'd say, shut up or I'm going to blow your head off, blah, blah, blah. And I'd turn around to the principal. He'd just say, keep on preaching, brother. In my first year, a guy came out of the store one night and told me he's going to shoot me. And he had a rifle with him as well. And I looked at the principal. He said, don't worry about him. And he lifted that gun up. Before I even had time to stick the bullet in there, another guy came. I don't know where he came from. He just had a white singlet. He was an Aussie. He had a white singlet on. And he just grabbed that guy on the back of the throat there and carted him off and said, I'm the sergeant. Let's go. You see what I'm saying? It's all gone, folks. And we want to get them out there in Africa, in the middle of the marketplace, and preach. But our pastors don't get it. The world's a rough place. Even though there's a harvest, it's a rough place. You have to understand that. Unless we try out these young people, we'll never know. We won't know. If they can't handle it, it's okay. Nothing wrong with that. If God hasn't made you for that, then there's something else. Amen? But at least you can say, I went there, I saw it. Yeah, well, no, I can't handle that. Well, maybe in 10 years' time you will. But see, we're not doing much of this. We want to send them off to have a little holiday somewhere and have a great time playing bows and arrows. Listen to me, we've got to send them into the real world. You with me? Into the real world. Where they are threatened. And where they may spend a day or two in an African prison. That'll be fun. I've been to one of those. The Lord Jesus infected them and made them men. And last of all, the Lord Jesus sent them. Where nobody else wanted to go. You know why he called those 12 guys apostles? They have different names. They were called apostles. The word apostles, the apostle, is a very interesting word. Let me just give you the right quotation here. The word apostle means to send away to. He trained these men to send them away to. To where? Where they were given light to go. You get the light, it stimulates you, the light determines your procedure, and then it determines your product. And all I hear from most parents is, oh, my little Johnny, he's going to be a lawyer. What for? To help some criminal? Because that's where the business is, amen? Amen? Why are our children taught and told that working for God is the last thing on the list? When for Jesus it was the first thing. Amen? So all of those of you who got an extra 30 grand, I'll be waiting for your call. So we can train some young people. Instead of them going somewhere to have a vacation and a nice time, I don't want them coming home saying, it was wonderful, we took photos, whatever. I don't want that. I want them coming home and weeping and saying, what we saw changed us. And we're going back. 40% of all the people are taken to Africa are now on the mission field. 40%. Take that, compare it to Bible colleges in America.
1/4 of 1%, not even 1%, 1/4 of 1% in America go to the mission field. Hello? And 3/4 of that 1/4 of 1% are back home in 3 years. Because there's no hardship. Jesus said, you follow me, you won't have a nice bed, you won't have comfort, you won't have friends, you will be lonely, you will be hungry, you will suffer. That's why we tell our kids, don't do that. Because if you do that, I'll have to suffer along with you. You know what mums are like. I don't want my little Johnny to get sick. Poor little darling. Well, then take him off the laptop. Because he's already sick. Amen? He's already sick. You've made me sick. So when is this country finally going to get the message that we cannot get the job done here? I talked to another pastor in the US. I said, you know, we need to start a college, a Bible college, on the mission field. Not in America, not in Australia for that reason, but for missionaries, people who want to be missionaries, start one on the mission field where it's rough. Now, he put it in the computer here. It took 5 years to gel. And then he just resigned his church. He's going to the Philippines, setting up a college. The roughest place we can find. Hello? You get light, you have to move. Let me read you one more text, and then we'll quit. Go to Acts 11, my favorite book, Acts 11. The church of Antioch was the first Gentile church. That was the first non-Jewish church. Amen? That's where the first missionaries came from. Not Jerusalem. The Jewish people there didn't want to do anything. That's why God busted that church up and left it in ruins. From here on to the end of the book of Acts, you only hear about what's happening out of this church. The other one became the late church. The great church of Jerusalem became the late church. It died. It died because people had everything and did nothing with it. I'll say it again. They had everything. They had the crowd. They had the building. They had the Bible. They had the best teachers. They had the prophets. They had everything. But the light didn't produce anything up here. Hello? This little church at Antioch, first missionaries packed up, started leaving. Listen carefully. Chapter 11. Look at the end of the chapter. Verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. See, there's nothing happening in Jerusalem, so they came to Antioch. Amen? And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, the way to check a prophet out is a short-term prophecy, and if it comes true, you know you've got the right guy. Well, this guy prophesied, and it happened, amen? Right there. You see it there? There was going to be a famine. Now, then the disciples, every man, who? Every woman? Did it say every woman? Fellas, help me. What does it say? Every bloke, amen? Every bloke said something. Every man according to what? His ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. That was the place where the church in Jerusalem wouldn't go. Remember that? They wouldn't go. which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. What are we seeing here? We're seeing here the first non-Jewish church, and this church already in the first chapter of its existence, already is saying, how can we expand? The men got creative. We have committees for everything else except for expansion. You know what our committees do? Most of them keep everybody in the church happy. That's why we have committees. Amen? We don't have committees to expand outward, but committees that keep us all inwardly happy. And we have to start thinking. Our men have to start getting together. One of you will have to become the spokesman. Come and see Pastor. So I'm the spokesman, Pastor. I'm going to raise 50 grand. Let me do it. Pastor will say, yes, sir. Okay, whatever. We're going to do something instead of storing up all the light we're getting every week, because really it's going nowhere. We turn up on Sundays, we turn up on Wednesdays, and that's where it all turns off. Are you with me? The average Christian has lost the message on Sunday before he gets to the parking lot. It's gone. He's not doing anything with what he received. No wonder our pastors have nervous breakdowns quietly. No wonder their hair goes grey before they're 40. Or it leaves altogether. It's no wonder. Because they keep pouring out and wondering, what in the world are we, the people, doing with it? Say amen, Pastor. Help me now. Amen? I'm the same. I'm not pastoring, but I've got lots of other pastors to deal with. Amen? They're telling me this. What are our people doing with this? You can walk around and say, I'm going to tell you about the Mormon church, what I know about. I don't care what you know about the Mormon church. Well, let me tell you something that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists have. I don't care. What are you doing with the light you have received? What? Where? When? How? And don't say, the money's not here. Listen, we're the richest Christians in the world. The money's here. It's going to go on the next car. Amen? I can build a Bible college, the clinic, the little huts for the young people, and run an orphanage of 30 kids for the price of one car. But we can't sell it in this country. They don't want to know about it. You see what I'm saying? And our young people, we keep missing them and missing them and missing them and missing them. I remember when I used to come to Sydney, when I was in Adelaide, remember? I used to come to Sydney, we would have youth rallies with 800 young people. You want me to say it again? 800. Now, we're lucky to rustle together 300. Our churches are going to become old folks' homes if the production belt doesn't start picking up. It's going to be an old folks' home. Amen? All these sheep upside down on the pews, you can just see them, can't you? And what are you doing, sir? It's pathetic, isn't it? It's laughable, but it's pathetic. Now, we need you to help us. We need every church to help us. Listen, I've got nothing else to give. I've got no retirement money. I've spent it all. I've got nothing. Nothing. We're running on empty. Honest. I've got pastors all over the world banging on our door, calling and saying, when are you coming to teach us? When are you going to help us? We've got young people who need to go. And, okay, cost money. It costs time. Time is precious. Time is more valuable than money. I don't listen to every invitation anymore. People say, come here, come there. Now, unless I can produce something there, I don't want to be there. You become that way when you get to 60, amen? when you're 40, you run everywhere with some, come and preach for us. No, unless I can produce something somewhere, I don't want to be there. You become very productive when the lights come on. Amen? What are you doing today with the light that you're receiving? What are you doing? Pastor's going to come. What are you doing with that light? Let's stand and think on that.